Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett, and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. And it is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. And I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners listening via the internet. We're glad that you found us, and we trust that our ministry will be an encouragement to you. For those of you who are following the church calendar, this is the second Sunday of Advent. That means that including today, there are three Sundays before Christmas. Advent is a time when we prepare to meet Jesus anew. And this morning, I want to talk about preparing to meet Jesus in unexpected places. I'm going to start by reading a scripture from the New Testament, Book of John, from the New Living Translation. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." That is how the Gospel of John starts. That is how the Gospel of John introduces Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the idea of God, the spoken power of God, God himself. And this is what it says of him. "In the beginning, before the world began, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. God created everything through him. It was the Word of God that brought all that is into existence. It was Jesus who brought all that is into existence. He spoke his word and it happened. Not only that, but he spoke life into us. He enlightened us with truth and with understanding. Jesus did it all. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then John goes on to say in verse 14, "So the Word became human and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in the Message. He says, "And the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes." Well, last week, if you were listening, I talked about finding Jesus in unexpected circumstances. This week, I want to look at finding Jesus in unexpected neighborhoods, unexpected places. The one who existed before anything else existed, the one who caused all that is to come into being, the one who was and is God, became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. You know, there are times when I think of this world as a precision timepiece. If the earth were just a little closer or a little further away from the sun, it could not sustain life. I am amazed at the connectedness of nature, where everything works together. The forest needs the air needs the forest, the water evaporation rain cycle, the intricacies of the body. It's amazing how it all works together right down to the microscopic level. The world is like a precision timepiece. At least that's the way I think about it sometimes. Then there are other times when I think about this world and I think it's more like a Ford Edsel. For those of you who don't know the Ford Edsel, it was a 1958 car that was named after one of Henry Ford's sons. It was brought to the market with great fanfare, but it was a lemon. It was ugly. It was a gas guzzler, and it kept on breaking down. Sometimes I think about this world like a Ford Edsel. The hurricanes and floods and earthquakes and volcanoes, heart disease, cancer, mental illness, and death. Sometimes I think that this world is ugly and constantly breaking down. And depending on the news and the mood of the day, I can revel in the glorious sunset or be depressed over the evil that is in the world like ISIS. I can be enthralled by the creativity of human ingenuity, or I can be disenchanted with the cruelty of people. I can be awed by the grandeur of mountains or distressed over the devastating effects of a famine. Then I'm reminded that the one who existed before anything else existed, the one who caused it all to come into being, the one who brought life to it all, the one who has brought truth to humanity, the one who was and is God, became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. That's kind of like the architect and the general contractor of a community moving into that community. You get a chance to ask, hey, why did you put the door there? Why is the light switch over there? What were you thinking? It is one thing to be the God of the universe. It's a whole other thing to move into the neighborhood. God, what were you thinking when you created the giraffe? God, what were you thinking when you created me the way you did? The one thing I've learned about God is that he does what's unexpected. As you know from the Christmas story, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He used a stable for a motel and a manger for a cradle. He then migrated to Egypt to escape wicked King Herod. He grew up as a child there in Egypt, and then he migrated back to Israel, to Nazareth, when King Herod died, because that was the home of his mom and dad. John lets 30 years pass in his narrative, and we see Jesus at the beginning of his ministry on earth. He has been introduced by John the Baptist, and Jesus was calling his disciples, and his disciples were telling their friends. And this is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael, "can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. You know, to the people living in Nazareth, Nazareth was a backwater town where nothing happened and nobody important lived. But that's where Jesus grew up as a teenager. That is where he grew into a man. He grew up in an unexpected place. You would expect that the architect of humanity to live in some prestigious palace, not a humble home, carrying out a humble trade in a humble town, but that's exactly where Jesus moved into. We're going to listen to a song called "Make Your Home in Me," and it's by Vineyard Music on an album entitled "Hungry."
I'll sing my songs of praise, thanksgiving on my lips, bowed low and worship you. But now I'm coming close, closer than before, for the veil is torn in two. Now that I'm here with you, there's no place I'd rather be. Now that I have felt your touch, make your home in me. My songs of praise, thanksgiving on my lips, bowed low and worship you. But now I'm coming close, closer than before, for the veil is torn in two. Thank you.
feel so safe with you. Acceptance in your voice, you whisper tenderly. You are my beloved, chosen one, my friend. You're so precious to me. Now that I'm here with you, there's no place I'd rather be. Now that I've felt your touch, make your home in me. Make your home in me. Make your home in me. So will you come? And will you stay? Make your home in me.
If you want to know what kind of people Jesus likes to hang around with, take a look at the people who he chose to grow up with. He didn't gravitate towards a palace, nor to people who tried to fit in at a palace, putting on airs. Although it's obvious that he studied scripture, which meant that he spent a lot of time at the synagogue in Nazareth, he didn't gravitate towards the religious center of the time, Jerusalem. No, he who existed before the world began chose to grow up in an unexpected place, a humble town, a humble home. I grew up in the Ottawa Valley, in the country, between the village of Glasgow and the village of Braeside, a humble place. I first pastored in a small town in northern Ontario named Bruce Mines, a humble place. Here's what I know about small places. They're filled with quirky people, people who know each other's business. You don't put on airs because everyone knows everyone else. You might not like your neighbor, but you know all your neighbors and you need to get along, and you learn to like them. I love pastoring at the church in Bruce Mines. It was a town of 600 people on the shores of Lake Huron. What I loved there was that there are no pretensions. What you see is what you got, for better, for worse. Those are the kind of people Jesus chose to live amongst. I now live in a very different time and place. I live in a city that is the capital of Canada. Power and status matter. It allows you to get things done or not get things done. Ottawa is not the fashion capital, but how you present yourself matters. It's important that you look good and that you show yourself to be somebody that's impressive. We live in a world where your presentation and your resume matters. Your presentation on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter matter, at least in terms of how people perceive you and, yes, judge you. That is just the world we live in. It is a reality that we have to deal with, which is okay, I suppose, as long as we don't start believing our own press. When you start believing that perception is more important than reality, when you start to believe that it is more important that people think you're good than to be good, then your life starts to get derailed. You see, those are not the kind of people chooses to come amongst. Those aren't the kind of people that Jesus chooses to hang out with. He likes people to be who they are. It's not that Jesus won't talk to the other kind of people. He talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who were the ruling elites of the day, the people who had a way of putting on airs, the people who did what they did often for show. But what Jesus called them to was repentance. Jesus called them to righteousness on the inside, not just the outside. Because Jesus wants our inside and our outside to match, he does good work with people who will be authentic. But you know what that means? It means that each one of us can be the kind of people that Jesus chooses to hang around with. We can be the kind of people that Jesus chooses to be with. He wants you to be authentic. He wants you to come as you are. No perfect people allowed. Too much of religion is about striving. Striving to be something better than we are. Striving to be something different than we are. Striving to somehow work so our emotions so we feel the way we should. But that is just the religious form of being inauthentic. There are ways to be inauthentic in our world, and there's ways to be inauthentic in the church. Neither are the kind of people that Jesus chooses really to be with. When we come to Jesus, we come as we are. Jesus takes us as we are. He loves us that much. You may think that you're too bad for Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Jesus knows you at your worst, and he comes to you right where you're at. He doesn't come to some false self and some pretentious self. He doesn't come to a mirage of a person. He doesn't come to the person you'd like to be. He comes to you right where you're at, and he loves you. And he loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you too much just to let you remain where you're at. He takes you where you are at, and he calls you to be all that you were created to be. But, you know, that can be pretty scary because Jesus comes to us where we're at. He meets us in our neighborhood, and he sees us en masse, and he knows our good points, and he knows our bad points. He moves in right beside us, and you can see that as he gives us an opportunity to know him, but it's the architect of the universe who moves into our neighborhood. And you can choose, like Adam and Eve in the story of creation chose to run and hide. Many people do choose to run and hide. But it's one thing for Jesus to choose to move into our neighborhood. It's another thing for you to accept that. John chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And he came to the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but even they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. He came to these ordinary people, the people of Nazareth, people of Israel, and they rejected him." You know, it's a scary thing for the God of the universe to move into the neighborhood. It has a way of upsetting the status quo. A lot of people didn't like that. Some people didn't recognize him. Others just flat out rejected him. But Jesus moved into the neighborhood anyways. To those who did believe in him, to those who did receive him, he showed them how to become children of God. He's not talking about a physical birth, but a spiritual birth, a birth that comes from God. Many of you have had that happen in your life. You've said, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again from the dead. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you." That is how you become a child of God. That is how you receive him into your life. That is how you welcome your neighbor who was and is God. What a lot of people don't realize, though, is that not only is this the way you become a child of God, a friend of God, not only is this the way you become a Jesus follower, a true Christian, this is the way that you continue to walk with Jesus. Here's what a lot of us do, especially those of us who have been in the faith for a while. We're familiar with the Bible. It is kind of like we've taken a course on what the Christian life is supposed to be. And we know all the general principles. We know that we're supposed to love and that we're supposed to be kind and that we're supposed to be generous and that we're supposed to be gracious. We know that we're not supposed to lie and we're supposed to tell the truth. We know we're supposed to pray and to worship and to read the scriptures. We know all the rules and we know the expectations. And then with these rules, well, we set out to live life. But of course, life doesn't fit into the rules all that well. So we kind of live the best we know how and hope for the best. Here's what Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, and here's what Jesus says to those of you who have already received him. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends." Revelation 3:20. Not only did he move into our neighborhood, but now he's knocking on our door. And notice that it's Jesus that always comes to us. He's always the one who's making the first move. He knocks at the door of your heart, and you have a choice. You can invite him in or not. It's a little intimidating. See, some of us are not the best housekeepers. We don't have it all together, don't have it all organized. But he knocks and waits for an invitation to come in. if you'll extend that invitation, what he does is he sits down with you and talks with you. He says, we're going to work together. If you do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, you're going to change. You can't change yourself, Jesus says, but I'm going to give you the desire and the power to be all that you were created to be. See, it's not about striving. It's not about trying to do your best. It's about following. It is about what – it's not about what you do. It's about what you allow Jesus to do in you. Just do what he says. He has a way of changing us from the inside out as we hang out with him. But what happens if you had to coach someone? How about you're coaching someone this week? You know, you can see all the things that need to be done, but normally if you're a coach, what happens is you focus in on one thing. If Jesus is your coach, if Jesus is the one talking to you, if Jesus is the one guiding on you, there's so many things that you could focus on, but he's going to say, hey, you know, just leave that be for a while. Let's focus over here. And as you allow him to walk through your life and show him, he will show you what to emphasize, what to focus on. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. And what happens is that he knows the best way for you to be and become all that you were created to be. What would happen if we were authentic people who lived in a community that was being coached by Jesus? I want you to encourage you day by day, hour by hour, into a relationship with him. I want to encourage you to, at your mealtime, to stop and give thanks. And remember that he's with you. And say, Jesus, is there anything that you want to show me about my day? So when you get up in the morning, at breakfast time, at lunchtime, at supper time, when you go to bed at night, take a few moments and say, Jesus, here I am. I know that you're with me. Is there something I need to do to be able to follow you right now? Jesus has a way of showing up. So let him do that. Let's pray together. Lord, you come to people who are humble, who are authentic, who don't put on airs. You come just as we are. And so for each person who comes to you right now, I'm praying, Lord, that you'll show up in ways that they can hear and know and understand, that you would guide them into the ways that they can live life to the fullest for you. So, Lord, I'm praying that you would be there in a way that they can see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and that they'll give glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if Good News in the Morning has been helpful in your spiritual journey, we'd love to hear your story. You can connect with us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. It just gives us great pleasure to hear from people as to what's going on in your spiritual life. You can also connect with us by email, Twitter, or, as I said, on the website. Thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make a check payable to Good News in the Morning Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May God's Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out listening to Chris Tomlin sing All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me of his promise, in the triumph of his blood. And when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.